Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for standing by. The call is now being recorded. Thank you.
All right. We know for now for sure that we are. This is Jay Scott, chair of the working group, work team. And I would ask, according to our agenda, that we go through these reports of the groups who were reviewing the interim rules with regard to the 9 enumerated points. I think Tim Ruiz, were you sort of the appointed, anointed chair of Group A?
He was so appointed, and I'm not sure about the anointed, but yep.
So Tim sent a note saying he was going to be a few minutes late to the call.
Well, I thought I heard him on the call just a moment ago.
He's all not right. Listed on the meeting
queue. Okay. Well, I'm in my car, so I apologize. Let's move to the next group, Group B.
Subayas, yes.
All right.
This is Ken. Just a note, I have posted his comments to the wiki under agenda item 1.
Thank you. All right. Group E?
Yeah, okay. This is Subaya here. As you know, that there was two, I believe no one else joined the group, so it was just Subaya and Alexei Sozanov.
Yes.
So we just had about, Alexei's on the call, we just had a few days, I guess. And he sent me some stuff, and we reviewed some stuff together, and I guess I thought the call would be also tomorrow. So anyway, this is not as finished as, fully finished as it could be, but here's our initial stab at it. But before I start on that, I would like to make personally a statement that I found pretty astonishing. It was good that someone asked me, to read, forced me to read pages 12 to 21 from Ken Bauer of the board recommendation, because when I read that, it became clear to me that one of the main reasons why we are moving, I mean, it's featured quite a bit on one of the pages, page 18, that one of the main reasons why we are proceeding down a working group model was the presumed success of the IDN working group within the GNSO. That it was quite successful, and the Who Is One was later followed along the same model, but the Who Is One isn't actually changing decisions that were already made before. It's just looking at implementation questions, and therefore it doesn't quite merit as much as the pioneering IDNWG working group. The oddest thing for me is, well, that's very nice because I was part of that group, and I'm happy that there's change based on it. The oddest thing for me to read that was I was bewildered and astonished to think that that was a success. You know, I mean, that can only imagine that other committees before must have been, I don't know what. But I can say one thing that, I mean, I was just very shocked. I mean, after it, you know, been working through some of this. Because many of the participants, at least half of them in that group.
Excuse me, Mr. Jean Gruel, join.
Many of the participants would feel that they didn't have a vote. They didn't, you know, their views weren't really appropriately heard, and they didn't have a voting right, and all of those things. So actually, more than half the participants, or at least half the participants who were attending a lot of the meetings at the end, would have felt, including myself, that it was really a sham. Okay, so it's a perspective. I mean, it's great that that's something that is now being used as a model, and we're moving forward along the model, and I'm very satisfied by that. But on the other hand, to portray it, because that's not what I would say many of the people on it would say. In fact, the impetus for me to join this group was the experience there. Now, and I would like to, just before I go to the points, I'd like to say that my participation in ICANN has been largely on IDN issues. And predating, the reason that the IDN working group was put together, the working group model was put together 2 years ago, that is deemed as a kind of a success and why we should go down this path, and that's why it's relevant, actually was a replacement in some sense for something that had gone earlier than that, called the President's IDN ICANN Committee that was convened by the President. And that committee went on for a year or two, and I believe there were 20 or 22 people on the committee. You were appointed on that committee directly by the president. And 22 people were there. They met for every week or so
not every week. I think we can all agree that the past efforts on certain specific topics have not been as successful as we'd like.
Correct.
But I
believe
that the GNSO sort of morphed over the last two or three years
into
a formal working group model. And
correct.
We need to now refine that so that
correct.
We can work out some of those things that
correct.
You personally,
but I just wanted
to the point. I'd greatly appreciate it, so we can keep this call going.
Okay, go. The only other point I wanted to make about that previous committee was that although there were 22 people listed and there were many meetings, the attendance level at those meetings, if you went back to look at them, was dismally low, 3 or 4 people every single time, not even the chairs on it. And yet decisions were almost made, and then some of these decisions actually reversed in the following IDN committee meeting. That's all I wanted to say. So that is influencing some of the thoughts that we had in drafting these points below, those points. Now, regarding the points 4, 5, and 6, I believe 5 and 6 are easier to discuss, and I think that, the 5 and 6, that's why it's ordered that way, 5, 6, and 4. So this is just a stab. We know there's going to be controversial, we don't even know what is the right way to approach this. We're just putting some stuff up to see whether that could address some of the previous problems. Okay, I'll just walk through this, and let me walk through the first point. The first point is that along the board recommendation was a requirement, sort of not a requirement. One of the things they talked about was diversity and representation, and make sure there's enough people around. So from that perspective, even the committee, that the subgroup that I'm now representing, myself and Alexei, doesn't meet the requirement. There's only 2 of us. And we're not diverse enough either. So actually, from that perspective, anything we come up is insufficient. We need more group members. Okay. So the other thing is regarding 4, 5, and 6 together. That's my first point. There, we noticed that in the board recommendation, it said that there's a clause for any deviation from rules that on a case-by-case basis. That is that once rules have been set, and I think this would apply for 1 to 9 as well, not just for 5 and 6, once rules have been set, eventually whatever the rules are, if there's a deviation to be had on a case-by-case basis, then that should be allowed, but, is what the board suggestions suggest, but on an exceptional basis. So in referring to that, we suggested that if such a deviation from rules are to be made in a case-by-case basis, then at least as far as 4, 5, and 6 are concerned, they should be preset and agreed to before convening the WG. And if a change is desired during the WG, there must be 100% acceptance, on a special vote or something, to change mid-course and then follow the new rules. Otherwise, you restart the WG again under new rules. That's the suggestion, to address that issue. That was not specifically the 4, 5, and 6, but it was in the board suggestions. Then, going forward in 5, I think people can read basically what it is. It's just these suggestions. The 5 issue is really regarding drafting group formation. I believe that's separate from the chair or the working group or what the working group issues are. It's, for example, from my understanding, it's like what I'm doing right now with Alexei. We are the drafting group, subgroup. And so the suggestions that we suggest there are open for debate, ask for volunteers, which I think is how we got here for this particular subgroup. And again, to emphasize that the board requirements also in this context of number 5 actually suggest that people knowledgeable be on the drafting committee. It does suggest that in specifically to this drafting thing. So that's included there in terms of, emphasizing what Tim may be talking later, what Tim was trying to raise before, that where feasible, experts and diverse groups, both are things that the board requirements suggested be included as much as feasible. And, of course, it also in that context, we also thought that the chair of the drafting group in particular should have some expertise or experience. And I can say that, it's not even clear for this sub-drafting committee group that I could be deemed as being, sort of the chair and be deemed as having expertise. I'm not sure. Okay. Then the last one being, this is a suggestion that if the drafting group is too small, that it's just, I don't know what the number is, but I don't think two is, you know, that, I'm not sure whether it's appropriate to in our present case, if it's too small, or if the average attendance, you know, if for some reason I was trying to reach Alexei over the weekend and I couldn't, or just the last week, you know, or something like that, and then we couldn't discuss, then, you know, the issue of attendance. How many people are actually participating in actually creating this? And I don't know whether we need kind of rules for that, you know, or suggestions for that. And so that's regarding five. Now, I'll just take a break here. And Scott, I don't know how
we'll take a queue, and I'm going to be first in the queue to say,
okay,
the group that you are assigned to is not a drafting group. It is merely a group that is looking forward and putting together ideas so that the larger group can have a discussion.
Okay.
So the fact that it may be one, two, or four, you're not having any sort of decision-making power.
I understand that.
Merely coalescing ideas for the larger group to discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. But am I also to agree that any rules that we come up with, even as a WG working group, okay, everything that we come up with, we don't have a decision-making capability either. It's somebody above the board or whatever actually decides on the actual rules, correct?
Well, somebody has to decide what will go in the final report.
Right, correct.
And so there is a decision like, now whether that gets implemented, the implementation decision is not ours to take. So, but, you know, my point to you would be, I've been involved with ICANN, and I'll let Audrey also speak to this, but I've been involved with it since its inception. And I can tell you that if you say that ideas and progress can't move forward because you've got 22 people signed up and only 3 people are showing up, we might as well pack up and go home now. Because in my experience, that's the way it's always been, and that is the reason why you try to bring things up and open it up to public discussion at every level so that everybody will, because many, many, many people will not be engaged until the very last step. Now, Audrey, I don't know what your experience has been, but that certainly has been mine.
Right.
Yeah, certainly not as long as yours, but, you know, you get the people that really are dedicated to something work on it, and they're often the ones that have the strongest viewpoints. And what they start and put down on paper is then what other people start building their comments from, both in agreement and disagreement with. And actually, I think it works in the long run by going through many levels of review until something comes out that, you know, has more or less been discussed by everyone that cares to discuss it at some level or other. So in terms of this stuff, I think the decisions will actually be made by the PPSB and then either endorsed or not by the council, and it doesn't go to the board other than for the board to see it and go, yeah, that seems okay. But I don't think they actually have a decision on how working groups are run.
Okay.
Anyone else in the queue?
Not at this stage.
Who was that?
That was me saying not at this stage, Cheryl.
Okay. Let's then move to point four quickly.
Point six.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, because I think the point four will take, you know, will make a lot, there'll be a lot of discussion on that, I imagine. Six is regarding procedurals not followed. That is that if procedural rules, actual rules of procedure are not followed and someone wants to object, as opposed to they're not happy with a particular vote or a decision that is made about something. It's a procedural rule. And so on that one, the suggestions that we thought might look reasonable are, first of all, the objector brings it privately to the chair, or in the case of a drafting group, then the chair of the drafting group. And I don't know, just a stab at 1 week for a private resolution to a satisfaction of the objector, or a process in place, put in place that will lead to a satisfactory resolution by the chair, which is agreed to by the objector. You know, so something essentially in private to solve the problem. If it doesn't, if A does not work, then the objector places a formal objection in writing to the whole WG mailing list chair, and the chair and objector, you know, informs whoever the there must be, and I just didn't know what the term for that is, so I just came up with this thing called a boss entity, I guess, whoever is on top. I think the IETF people suggest they have a different, they have a director role, whatever, but the point is somebody above the WG, above the chair, will be also informed of it. And at the next, scheduled meeting, or if the chair convenes a special meeting, or by email, or some way to discuss this, you know, at the next scheduled meeting, we just thought that C would be a helpful way to bring information to the arbitrating body above the chair if this goes up to that. So it's just to take a survey or a vote, or it's not even a vote, but an information gathering where the WG participants themselves feel if the procedural rules were misapplied or not, and in some way to collect that information and send it to the person who would be interested as sort of the boss entity or whatever was doing the arbitration or looking into the matter. It's not necessary, but if that, the reasoning for getting that information up to the top would be simply so that they can come up to speed quickly and decide on how to decide. It's not just, it's not a popular vote thing, but just an information brought up to them. And that was the idea.
I think that sounds very interesting.
Okay.
A lot of these ideas, in my opinion, are multi-layered and complex and going to require some time to think. So what I would ask is we quickly let you finish up on number four.
Okay.
And let everybody take these and digest them over the next 2 weeks and discuss them on the list. And then we'll come back to them for a more robust discussion after people have had time to digest them.
Right, that's precisely my view, too.
Okay. To let you finish up and take
okay.
any comments
okay. I'll go
you
very
want
quickly
to have.
All right.
We need to move this forward.
Okay. So that's precisely my idea, too, and I think this is going to, especially number four, I think it's going to take a lot of time for people to come to agreement. And so is it even, at this point, Scott, would it even be necessary for me to walk over these? So I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
I think if you just wanted to say that you think four is one that, I think just telling us that that's one that requires some, you believe in your personal opinion, some extra special consideration because it is one that you both found difficult.
Yes.
Is enough, and I would ask that we just flip them over and let's move to the next report.
Okay, good. Okay, so people take a look and make an active debate, and I guess our team will try to work to modify changes and put them in and as we go along. Thank you.
All right. Who is C? Is that Cheryl?
Yes, Cheryl and Zach.
Okay.
It's Caroline and Zach, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Caroline.
No problem.
All right.
I think we had some overlap there because we thought we were 6, 7, and 8 per Ken's notes and per my own notes from the last meeting, so it appears that we have overlapped with Zubaya, who has also done 6.
Oh, I think that
is... actually, it was 4, 5, 9, and 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, so
I think
they
overlap with you.
Yeah,
that's what
we're
right?
So is it 9 that hasn't been looked at?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I would ask that we do that, but right now I think it's not a bad thing that we have two people looking at 6, Caroline, because that just gives us two different perspectives and brings in some of the diversity that we heard. There was a little concern that there wasn't a diversity of views or ideas. So if you would just quickly summarize what you all have come to, just really quickly, and I would ask everyone, all these reports have been circulated to the list, and review them so we can have a more robust discussion on the list and at our next call.
Yeah,
Zach was our team leader, so Zach, do you want to, or shall I do it?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to.
Okay.
So yeah, we had a look at 6, 7, and 8. Everyone to have a look at the report there. We didn't do so much of a report. We made a couple of initial additions to the interim rules because there were a couple of points missing. With regards to point 6 in the appeals process, not really much to add to what Tobias said except that the process should be transparent to the entire working team. And that's all there for everybody to see, so have a look at that during the week. For point 7, include rules applicable to latecomers on working groups. Not much was really said at all with regards to latecomers, so Caroline added a new paragraph, and I agree with it for the whole part. That is, the chair has the power to accept latecomers as participants, but they also require the newcomers to review all previous documents and discussions and not reopen any previously closed matters. I feel there also needs to be reiteration on submitting a statement of interest in case it gets bypassed for some reason in the first part of the team rule. But again, that's up for discussion. So thoughts on that would be obviously greatly appreciated. And on point 8, required disclosures and standardised statement of interest forms being available for public review, that wasn't mentioned in the rules, so we've just added a statement there at the end saying all statements of interest will be made publicly available for review online and via email. So if anyone has any questions regarding or any ideas regarding to those, please have a look and we can discuss it next week. But that's pretty much everything that Caroline and I discussed during the week.
Great. Tim?
May I? This is Bertrand. Just got...
Yes.
Yeah, may I have just one question? There's something I'm not completely sure of. Am I right in understanding that the suggestion done by the group C has been added actually to the interim work team rules?
Yes, we did. I don't know if we oversimplified the task somewhat, but that's what we thought we had to do, include any of the points 1 to 9, and we had 6, 7, 8 that didn't fall into the interim rules. And therefore we marked up the document and we've just circulated it within the last half hour to the list.
Okay, but so that means that the document that we're working on is actually the rules for the current work team?
Correct.
Wow.
Yes, the rules that we are working on are the interim work team rules.
For our own group.
And they are applying to this group.
Wow.
But the rules are changing, or we're just using that as a base document to edit, but the rules aren't actually changing in real time.
Right, we used it as a baseline.
Right.
I thought we were comparing the two documents and making
suggested
edits.
That is correct.
And I think, Bertrand, what you were concerned with is that the rules were changing in real time, which I don't believe they are.
No, it's not exactly that. There's a methodological thing here, which is starting from the interim rules that we have used for this work team as the basis, instead of starting from the requirements of the basically the board governance committee, mm-hmm. and trying to make things as clear and simple as possible. My concern is the following. I'm catching up after having missed one at least of the previous calls. And one of the difficulties in the ICANN process is the length of documents. The drafting mechanism always leads to very, very detailed additional specifications here and there. What I can see is that at the moment, I looked again at the board recommendations on the notion of work groups and the 9 elements. And what strikes me is that there would be a possibility to highlight the main elements that are contained in that. Otherwise, we're going to paraphrase and basically reinsert the formulations that have already been written. For instance, the first point that we will come to now, I understand that the fundamental notion is that the groups are open, period. Then we make qualifications. In terms of the writing, the current methodology is leading naturally to very lengthy documents. This is just a concern, but now I understand better, and I'll come back to that later.
One thing I would mention about using the interim rules is they're what working groups are using at the moment, so those are the things we're gaining experience on. But
mm-hmm.
I would agree with you that we certainly don't want the document or the guidelines to get longer and longer and longer.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to be said, I hope, for trying to use what we're using and build on it as opposed to coming up with something new.
Well, that was the whole point of this entire exercise, Bertrand, and I guess because you missed the call before, is to ensure that the board's recommendations and their goal that is expressed in their report is captured in these interim rules, and if it is not, what adjustments need to be made to ensure that they are captured.
Yeah, I agree, but let's move forward. I'll come back to that on the list.
Okay, Tim?
Okay, we were tasked with reviewing 1, 2, and 3. So in regards to 1, where the board recommendations were in regards to it being open, as Bertrand said, yet did mention manageable size and expertise and skills. So the interim rules don't really get into anything about specific size. So the group felt that definitely needs to be delved into. And that in regards to size, minimum size is just as important, if not perhaps even more important than maximum size, to make sure that any necessary or desired diversity that's needed for the particular work that's going to be done exists within the group, and that, you know, the appropriate interests are covered or included within the group, the appropriate interest stakeholder groups. In regards to the expertise and skills and interests, again, not a lot is said really about that within the interim rules. It does mention the need for completing a statement of interest, but more that needs to be expanded on. Perhaps the statement of interest could be used to include the skills or expertise that one might think they have in regards to that particular working group. And also perhaps look at outsourcing in particular cases where it might be necessary and provide the balance that we need to be effective in the working group, or for the working group to be effective. Number 2, which was about about notifications and making sure that as wide a notification as possible about the working group to encourage participation. Again, the interim rules don't mention that, so that would need to be included or delved into as we expand on those rules. And also more about as far as what languages those notifications might be made in. Again, that was included in the Board Governance Committee's recommendations. Perhaps languages other than English. Excuse me. And then the third one was in regards to having a strong, experienced, respected, neutral chair, fair treatment, et cetera. And it was interesting to note that when you looked at the more detail around what the Board Governance Committee was recommending, they actually recognized or suggested the possibility of professional facilitators or chairs to ensure neutrality and promote consensus. That's something that we might want to look at, but that also to be sure that we don't miss or that we do focus to some extent on developing those skills internally so that we have a good group of chairs that we can draw from that are currently involved on a regular basis within ICANN's processes. That's kind of a brief summary.
I think that's very good, Tim. Does anyone have a comment? Okay.
This is Bertrand. Just one comment regarding the question of size and the moment when working groups are being formed. If I look at the parallel work that is being done in the policy development process review, I can imagine that actually in the course of the development of an analysis of a given issue, the entities that will be dealing with the given issue will evolve. And in particular, the question of size, I can imagine that at first you can have two different situations. You can have one situation where an issue is addressed by a relatively small group for the initial fact-finding and issue scoping. And then this leads to a working group that will naturally expand, provided that the first report is attracting more attention. And then as the process grows and actors are more numerous maybe in the group, then the question that Subia was addressing of the formation of smaller groups for drafting will come into play. Or you have the reverse. You have a group that starts very large at first with a lot of people participating and then dwindles a little bit more afterwards. Mm-hmm. In any case, the question that I'm asking at the moment is, in the current thinking, what stage are we addressing? Because in the PDP, there's the initiation, then there will be the drafting of recommendation of regimes, and then it goes to the validation afterwards. But I suppose that the working group is likely to have different shapes and different participations at the different stages. For instance, and I finish with that, it can be very, very open at first, and if it has attracted too many people at the discretion of the chair or the agreement of the group can say, we form a subgroup more limited to have a better balance of expertise, make sure that all the views are represented, and this will basically feed back into the main group, like when we have a mailing list with a lot of people watching what's happening and just a small group drafting. Is that taken into account, and do we integrate in our thinking the different stages we're talking about?
I think those are excellent points, and I would appreciate it very much if you could put that in writing to the list.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone can think about that as they go through and consider these. My next suggestion is that moving to the next point on the agenda is that we need to now think about dividing into two separate teams, one that will continue to refine these thoughts and comments into something for the work rules, but we also need to put together a team that puts together guidelines for drafting work team charters. And both of these teams are merely going to be for generating ideas. They are not the team that is the ultimate decider of what goes into the report. That will be to the larger group, entire work team as a whole, and the entire list. But because we have, we're trying to have something presentable for consideration in Sydney, dividing the work up seems to be the most efficient model, and then bringing it back for full open discussion with the whole group. So that's what I would like to do. But before we do that, I think we still need a little bit more robust discussion on these particular suggestions that have come forward today. So I would suggest that we take the next 2 weeks, and during that period we discuss the suggested work rules and revisions that have been presented today in the three separate reports on the list, and come back and have another discussion about them in 2 weeks' time. And then at that time, if you would please identify during the next 2 weeks which of the two sub-working teams you would like to be a part of, realizing, of course, that we're going to have to split up. It can't be two people doing charter guidelines and 17 people doing work rules. And so I, as chair, will take the discretion of, if you identify yourself as interested in something and it's unbalanced, I am going to cajole members to move from one group to the other in order to keep it balanced and the work balanced, so it doesn't fall all on the shoulders of one particular individual or a couple of individuals.
This is Sabai.
Yeah, this is Tim. Can I get in the queue?
Yes. Yes. Sabai, what's
okay,
first?
Yeah. My question is, you know, I mean, I work by example, so I didn't quite understand your distinction between the two. The work rules, I understand. It's about the kind of stuff we've been doing so far. In terms of charter, what do you mean? Just general
talking
charter?
About just a, it would just be a guideline that assist new groups in sort of giving them a broad outline of how to go about drafting a charter.
Hey, Jay Scott, can I get in the queue? It's Liz.
We have Tim, And then we have Liz. Tim?
My thought was on the charter group as well, that I can't think offhand exactly what the charter is for the policy process working team, but there might be some overlap there potentially. I think we should look at that, and if there is, at the very least, that group may want to liaison to some extent with the other work team, just to be sure that we stay in sync.
I tell you what I do. Since we're taking the next 2 weeks before we move to this step, I will work with Liz and Jeff to ensure that nothing we're taking on is duplicative, and if there is overlap, that we do cross-pollination. Liz?
Yes, I commit to that too. And what I was going to suggest is taking a look at, on the wiki, the draft work plan that tries to take all of the things we've been talking about, items 1 through 9, and divide it into these two deliverables, in the sense that Jay Scott is referring to the working group model, and then a sort of template for a standard charter that could be used by the council to, you know, address the essential elements of each working group. And I think you'll see how we could plug in the work that you've already done and into this way of dividing up the overall elements that we're trying to enhance here. And this is just a suggestion, but I think it might help to make it clear sort of how the tasks before the group might be divided into these two deliverables. Does everyone see that work plan on the wiki, those that have access right now?
Here's what I would suggest, Liz, is that by close of business specific time tomorrow, we get a brief summary of this call out. Do you put those points in that summary?
Sure.
And then we take the next 2 weeks to do that. If Glenn could send out a doodle request for 2 weeks from today, but let's do Wednesday and Thursday of that week. Cheryl, I'm remembering your Saturdays here.
Thank you, dear.
So that we can get this next call scheduled. I will go ahead and send out an agenda at the end of next week, so that if anybody wants to add any other business or refine it under the, I'm just going to put broad things, if they want to put smaller subtopics under the broad topic, we can do that. I want to tell everyone how much I greatly appreciate the effort that has been put into this and the thought that has been put into it, and I am very encouraged that the group as a whole will take as much time to review the areas that they did not participate in and come back to our call in 2 weeks with points that they think need clarification or alternative points or things for a robust discussion. And I appreciate everybody's time today, but it's now been 45 minutes, 40 minutes of actual conversation, and we need to use the list a bit more. I'm not seeing some activity. Mm-hmm. So now you have something to talk about on the list. take time to talk about it on the list. That's two things that happen. One, you have more time to put your thoughts down and review them and make sure they're organized than you do when you're doing extemporaneous discussions on a telephone call. Please make sure to reach out to those members of your communities that you are here to represent, either formally or informally, because you have shared ideas, to make sure they're aware of what we're doing and that, you know, they understand where we're coming from and can relay back to us any thoughts or comments they may have, so we do have a robust discussion with differing views. So with that, I would like to bring this call to an end. I thank everybody very much for their time and effort, and we will talk to you in about 2 weeks' time.
Jessica, sorry, this is Glenn. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
2 weeks' time, Wednesday 8th, is Passover.
Can we do...
Can we only do the Thursday night?
Yeah, can we do Tuesday?
You've got to be flexible, of course. You've got to avoid...
Why don't you pick something that week that doesn't fall within the Passover?
Well, the whole week.
I'm wondering if this should be the following
week,
actually.
Can we do it Monday the following week, Glenn?
The following week will be the 15th of April. Will that be all right?
As long as it's early in the week, yeah.
Well, on a Wednesday or a Thursday?
Let's do Tuesday or Wednesday that day.
Wednesday, okay.
Okay?
Okay, 14th or 15th, I'll do that. Thank you, J. Scott.
All right, that gets us past Easter and Passover, and I'm sorry, I don't know any Hindi holidays during the time. I've got the Judo-Christian holidays covered.
This is Subhaya. Not that it matters to me. I've already done my taxes, but I'll just let you know. 15th and 16th.
I've done my taxes.
Over Passover or taxes, I can tell you which one is more.
Okay, well, then that's what we'll do, Glenn. If you'll send out the Judo request so everybody can do this, and we can figure out when we're having that call so people can get their schedules together. Again, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Look this over. Let's discuss it on the list so that we can move forward quickly. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have you ever heard of this? Every call we've got to do is to talk to one of the crazy people.
Sorry?